my honor today to bring God's word to you. Did you come ready to receive God's word?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We got a good message. Pastor Cody preached some of my message this morning, which is pretty cool that we're flowing in the same vein listening to the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't know exactly what I'm preaching on, and I didn't know what he was going to say this morning. So I'm very thankful that God is speaking to us. Amen? Can you believe it's June? Right? It's June already. This is the month summer begins. We might have to remind our weather that. April showers bring May flowers. May showers bring mud, flooding, anger, frustration. So May, last month, was the wettest, one of the wettest Mays on record here in Cedar Rapids. Not only in rainfall, but in days it actually rained. Yay! Praise God. Saturated. Somebody escort that man out right now. Woo. Don't make the pastor angry before he preaches. I got a microphone, man. I know how to use it. Speaking of saturation, right? Speaking of saturation, yesterday was awesome, wasn't it? If you came and joined us, man, we had about 50. What do you think, Sarah? How many do we have? 60 maybe? 50, 60 people come out, and we took part in Saturate Iowa. And I know it's been announced for the last couple weeks, but if you haven't been here in the last couple weeks, or maybe it's your first time, what it is we handed out little bags. We went door to door. Our church alone did 2,800 homes, right? Amen. From Edgewood to Ellis to Johnson to somewhere over here, and we just saturated our community, our neighborhood. And what was in those bags? It was information about Jesus. There's a DVD that had three different versions or viewpoints of the Jesus story. We had information in there about our church. We even had a little thing that this Wednesday there's a free barbecue and concert in here, which will tell and speak of the gospel message that hopefully they'll come on Wednesday. By the way, if we have a, 500, 600, 1,000 people show up, please remember us in tithes and offerings next week, because we're going to have to buy a lot more meat. Amen? Because we're planning on like 300-ish maybe. And so, but I am more than willing, even myself, to drive over to Hy-Vee and empty out their freezer or cooler of meat for the gospel. Anytime, any day. That's why we're here. We're here to preach the gospel message. And if we got to bring them in with hamburgers, provide a physical need to open a spiritual opportunity, I'm game. Amen. You game?
Yeah.
Amen. So that's what I'm excited about. Saturate Iowa was awesome. We walked all over. Mr. Rick, one of the board members, he looked at his watch and he said we walked like 8 miles just in our section alone that we were a part of. And so it was pretty exciting yesterday. And we prayed over and we anointed. What's cool is we took part in saturating all of eastern Iowa. So in the surrounding area, the corridor, this whole Cedar Rapids area, the eastern part, pretty much every home, I'm sure there's a few that got missed, pretty much every home got a bag with information from a church in our community. Because we all came together and we saturate Iowa. It's almost done. I think there's just a couple more churches left that still have to do it. But that's so awesome, right? If you remember a few months ago, more than half the people in Cedar Rapids alone do not have a church home, according to census on the internet that tell us. They don't profess any kind of faith. They don't show up on a Sunday morning. They worship, Sister Sheets and Brother Pillow, right? And then it's another day just to sleep in, but we know it's a day to get together with the family of God and worship. Amen? To get equipped to do the works of the ministry, to be sharpened by God's word, to love one another, lift each other up, come and celebrate. Shoot, man, we start at 10:30. You can't sleep in. Glory to God, right? So we're just thankful that you're here this morning, but we're believing that God is going to do things. And I'm not only team First Open Bible, I'm team Jesus. And so I don't mind that if we put something on somebody's door hanger and they associate with a Methodist church, a Baptist church, Presbyterian, whoever preaches the gospel cover to cover and tells about Jesus and preaches sin and repentance and says that Jesus is the way and the only way, fill the church. Fill it full of people. I don't care. We want as many people going to heaven as possible. Amen? I love more family members in our family. I love it, but I would rather have more family members in the church than necessarily just our church. And this month, like Pastor Cody said, the First Open Bible theme for this month is together. The last couple months, God has been really working on my heart. He's been speaking to me about how he is mobilizing the church all over the world and even in the remnant in America. He is moving and he is doing things and he's shaking it up, church. He's shaking it up. And God is asking us, how are we going to put action to our words? What good is professing your faith if you do nothing about it? Well, I venture to say, and the Bible says too, no good at all. It actually probably comes off as hate more than anything else. How will we profess our faith with love and with compassion? See, Jesus wasn't moved with sympathy or empathy. He was moved with compassion. And we're supposed to be Christians, right? Do you know what Christian means? Little Christ. Literally just that, little Christ. We are to be just like Jesus. I believe God is changing traditional mindsets all over the world. He's changing them into Holy Spirit-led actions. God is switching tradition, things that we've done in man's tradition, and he's saying, I want you to flow by my words, by my voice, by my actions. Listen to me and do those things. He is shaking things up, and he wants us to listen. If we don't hear God, who are we following? God gave us at First Open Bible a yearly vision of discipleship in 2019. It's Jesus' discipleship. Do you remember? It's discipleship and, oh man, I got to do this more often if y'all don't know. I've done it from the pulpit for like 5 times. All right, I'm going to preach on the vision. Discipleship is discipleship and evangelism together. Why is that true? Because that's exactly what Jesus did, right? In church, we believe that discipleship is just coming in, being saved, and then you go through a discipleship 101, 102, 103. You make steps, right? You start from ground zero, accepting Jesus, and you work your way over. But discipleship to Jesus started before they even followed him. It's evangelism. We're good at getting people saved, but we're not good at seeking to save people. But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. It's both. Amen? That is our vision for the whole year. I'm going to preach it so we all get it. Because if we don't get it, I've failed you. I've failed you. And I don't want to fail you. We must be people of discipleship. What are you doing? Every single thing you do every day, you're discipling another person. You're leading them in some way or another. Amen? You are. You're discipling them. And I asked a question. I venture to ask this question. When did the disciples become Christians? And I'll have a little caveat. And I'm going to say it probably wasn't when they walked with him for 3.5 years. Because if that were true, why did he say things? And what happened to the disciples as soon as Jesus was crucified? They went back to their old way of living. When do they become Christians? So you're telling me, Pastor, that Jesus discipled 12 guys every single day and they didn't become Christians until maybe after the crucifixion and the resurrection. That's because discipleship happens. If you lead somebody who doesn't know Jesus at all, doesn't know God at all, an atheist, if you lead them to being an agnostic, means they believe in a higher power, but they don't specifically say who it is, have you not discipled them closer to God? Simply as this, discipleship is leading people closer to Jesus, no matter where they're at. Amen? That is our whole vision for 2019. That's why I'm so passionate about it. See, Jesus' discipleship is evangelism and discipleship together. We are to pray for 10 people by name every day who in our area of influence is maybe lost or maybe not walking with God. By name, make a list. Man, I have more than 10, and it's in my office, and I look at it, and I pray for each person by name, and I've seen fruits of it already. It's something special by name, amen? God knows your name, doesn't he? Do you think Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father? It says that he prays for us. Do you think he prays by name? I think he does. And then we're also to disciple one non-Christian and one Christian. All it is lead them closer to Jesus, amen? So God gave us a scripture. Pastor Cody said it too. 2019, Isaiah 43:19. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. Somebody's dry out there, and you need to hear that. Amen? God, I've been dry for far too long. Make a pathway through my wilderness, my dry part of my life. Create a river, a living river, to saturate me with your presence, God. I need that. Praise God, amen? Who wants to please God? Raise your hand. Amen. Most people. I saw some hands not raised. I want to please God. Do you know what pleases God? I wrote down 3 main things. And then to tie it all up, love pleases God. Obedience pleases God. Faith pleases God. And what's cool about this, it's all those things in unity together. That's how you please God. We are better together, church. Amen? We are better together. I want to just preach real quick, literally just from different verses in God's word on this, how we please God. Ephesians 5:10 in the NLT says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Okay. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. So you cannot please God unless you have what? Unless you have what? It's impossible to please God unless you have faith. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So how can you please God? By? And faith comes by hearing the what? Word of God. Amen. Amen. And James 1:22-24 says, do not merely listen to the word. See, this is where God's shaking things up, I believe, right now. So you deceive yourself. If all you're doing is listening to God's word, you're deceiving yourself. It says, do what it says. Right? Man, we could just read that verse and leave. Amen? I mean, that preaches for days. 23 says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. See, far too often we come on a Sunday, we get all hyped up, but we forget everything on a Monday. It's like walking away and forgetting who you are. See, if we just listen to the word of God, but we don't apply it, we don't do what it says, we're not actually pleasing God. See, my faith comes by hearing the word of God, but the faith that I have by hearing the word of God pleases God when I do it. And how do you do it? Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies. Guess what? When you give Jesus your heart, your body is no longer yours. If you are choosing things with your own body that doesn't honor God, you haven't given God your whole body, which means you haven't given him it at all. It's all in or nothing. That's how it is, right? There's no riding fences. There ain't no fences in the kingdom of God. There's walls, right? And they're beautiful and they're super thick, right? Remember that? The new heaven, new earth. Every jewel we ever value here on earth is part of God's wall. And they walk on streets of gold. But see, if you, in your life, if you're not honoring God with everything, what are you honoring God with? Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What is it? It's holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Colossians 1:10 says, then the way that you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. What's cool is this. If you follow God and you ask him to purify you and you live a pure life to the best of your ability and you walk by faith and you do what God's word says, good fruit will come out of your life. If good fruit isn't coming out of your life, that's because you're not doing any of those things I just said, or you're not doing one of them, and the whole process doesn't work. And if you keep reading in Colossians 1:10, the back half says, all the while you will be growing as you learn to know God better and better. Amen? I want to know God better. Hebrews 13:15 through 16 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice. There it is. That's the key. It is hard to sacrifice every day. Who likes to pick up their cross every day? Nobody. No, who likes to sacrifice their flesh all the time? Nobody, right? Because we're humans. But the only way to give God all that he deserves and the only way to please him is that you live a life that is sacrificial to God. And here's the key. The only way to do that is in Hebrews 13:15 through 16. You offer through Jesus. He's our strength, not us. I cannot sacrifice my flesh on my own, but through Jesus I can. And it's a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Verse 16, and don't forget, okay? Don't forget, church, to do good and share with those in need. Why? These are the sacrifices that please God. Who wants to please God? Amen? Will you stand with me real quick, please? And will you hold the hand of the person next to you? If you're over by an aisle, go ahead and stretch aisles. I want us to pray something together in unity so we can please God. Amen? My wife does this on Wednesday night in the last 3 weeks. She has everybody stand in honor of God's word as we read it. I love that. That's total honoring. It's awesome. So I want to read two verses, and then I'm going to pray for us to please God. In 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 says this, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. Church, you want God to listen to your prayers? Pray something that pleases him, not pleases you. Amen? Verse 15, and since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. So let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. We ask that we pray in your name what pleases you. Lord, we come to you right now and we want to be built up by faith, by hearing your word. And we want to obey you by living a life that's sacrificial to you, that's holy and pleasing. And God, if there's something in us that we just can't let go in our own life, that we don't want to let go, and it's sinful or it's fleshly, break it now so we can please you, God, because we are here to please you. And when we please you, there's good fruits in our life that comes out. And then we can help one another, and we can be built up as a family, and the world will know you as Savior through us and our sacrifice. We love you, and we ask right now as we hold hands in unity, come together in us right now. Be our bond. Be our glue, Holy Spirit, right now in Jesus' mighty and glorious name. God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. God never intended for us to go through this journey we call life alone. Remember when he made Adam? And he gave him all these animals and he said, I'm just not feeling it, God. I'm not complete. And then he made woman out of his own rib, because God always designed us to have relationship. I believe there's nothing the devil fears more than Christians standing together in unity. You want to scare the enemy? Stand together in unity. You want to raise kids right? Stand together in unity with your spouse. A lot of kids messed up because there's a lot of divorce. What do they have to look forward to? Right? With a lot of division in this world, but we have to stand up in unity as a body, right? Because we're better together, church. The enemy is scared when Christians come together in unity because the enemy knows if we discover the power of together, there's almost nothing the church cannot do. Good example of that is the Tower of Babel, right? He had to mix up their language just so they wouldn't do something because they were so powerful together because God created us to be like that, church. He created us to be together. See, there's nowhere on earth the world should ever catch glimpses of heaven more clearly than in a unified church. The world should be able to see God in a unified church. There should be no other place. That should be number one. But unfortunately, the church has often been distracted by self-interest. God has called prophetic ministers in these last days to challenge the church to look beyond personal comfort and selfish gain. God is calling prophetic ministers to preach and teach on confession of sins, repentance, and the great power of godly unity. See, for too long, we've overemphasized the ministry of preachers and teachers that impart information with no mobilization. I remember going to church always wanting to feel good about myself. You remember that? Remember that? Come on now, be real. Remember I said we're family, like I don't know. Come on now. You remember that, going to church? I want to go to church and feel good about myself. You ever been there before? Raise your hand. Come on. Nobody won't say nothing. Amen? I want to feel better about myself. But the problem is that that's what we've been taught for so many years. But God is not asking us to feel better about ourselves. God is asking us to glorify God. Right? But far too long, we've had pastors come up and impart information and never require anybody to do anything about it. That is counterculture to all the Bible says. Everything in here is about transformation. You can't transform if you aren't willing to move. Amen? So the results have been evident in America for years now. We find ourselves in some bad information. We find ourselves with things falling apart, and we find ourselves almost in some ways feel like we're stuck in a corner. See, what it's done is it's developed consumers instead of followers. Consumers who choose their church home based on one major question: what's in it for me? Right? I've been there. See, what we should really be asking or saying to God is, God, use me. What's awesome is no matter what we face, as long as we stay on God, he says this in Isaiah 49 or 43:19. See, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in a dry wasteland. God's refreshing things, church. He's shaking it up and he's refreshing the dryness all over the nation and all over the world. God is using prophetic ministers to preach the truth, to preach the gospel, to instill love, to instill strength, to instill the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what next week is? Pentecostal Sunday. Man, this place should be packed out. This is a Pentecostal church. It's the birth of the church. Pentecost weekend. We need more fire in the church. Right? We need more fire in the church. I pray that next week, all over this world, there'll be fire from heaven that falls on churches that desire to please him. God's challenging the church right now, and he's asking us these two things, I believe. Who wants to please me? Who will follow me with love, obedience, and faith, and who will do that in unity? Now, how important is unity to God? The Bible teaches us. So the night Jesus was betrayed, Jesus spent some significant time praying. In my opinion, John chapter 17 should be called the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 9 through 13 has been labeled the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the Lord's Prayer that we know. But read John chapter 17 this week. See, in John chapter 17, it's threefold. Jesus, before he is betrayed, before he's taken captive, he prays for three things. First, Jesus prays that he might be glorified so the Father in heaven will be glorified. That's verses 1 through 5. Secondly, Jesus prays the disciples will be sanctified. What does that mean? Set apart and protected from the world's evil. That's verses 6 through 19. And here's the one I want to highlight today. And lastly, Jesus prays that the church may be unified. That's verses 20 through 26. Let's go ahead and open your Bibles up if you can, John chapter 17. See, Jesus wants us to be one, to be unified, to love each other, fellowship together, to share the same mind and purpose so we can minister together. Will you always agree with everyone? Do you always agree with everyone? Here's a better question. Do you always agree with yourself? So what makes you think you're going to agree with somebody else all the time? See, unity doesn't always have to be agreement, but it does have to be yielding and submission. It does have to be one mind of one purpose for one goal. What is unity? I think you can say it in three words. It's fully matured teamwork. It is the relationship that binds people together in love, togetherness, mind, and purpose. In John chapter 17, I'm going to start in verse 20, and I'm going to read out the NLT version. Jesus is praying for unity in the church. And he says in verse 20, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience, I love this, such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Verse 24, Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they will see all the glory you have gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Starting at the beginning, what I love is Jesus prayed for us, church. He said he prayed for the disciples at that very moment, all believers, current and ones to come, generation after generation. He prayed for us the night he was betrayed for this very purpose, to be together, to be unified. This oneness, this union he requests is not just an organizational one. It's a spiritual one. This unity will be visible to the life and the actions of the church, and it will bear witness to the world of a divine mission of Christ. Now let's talk about disunity. How serious is disunity to God? Titus 3, verses 10 and 11 says this. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. I'm like, why? Verse 11 says, for people like that have turned away from their truth and their own sins condemn them. It's serious, church. Disunity is serious. See, the church will never make an impact in the world it was created to if it is divided. Team Jesus. Amen, right? Y'all gonna write something about today, post on Facebook, whatever, hashtag Team Jesus. Y'all belong to First Open Bible if this is your home. I love it. But you more, even more, you're part of Team Jesus. Unity is one of the most powerful tools for evangelism for the church. But I believe unity is one of the most overlooked tools for evangelism as well. I want to highlight just three verses that we just read in John chapter 17, 21, 22, and 23. What does it say? It says, Jesus says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I'm in you. And listen to this. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Verse 23, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience, come on, church, may we experience such perfect unity that Cedar Rapids, our world, will know that you sent Jesus, that you will love them as much as you love us. Here's Pastor Harris's translation, quote, I wrote this. When a lost world watches a unified body of believers, they will see something they can't find anywhere else. The world desires love, support, encouragement, and acceptance. And they will see that with the church. And because of that perfect unity, the world will be drawn to the Savior. End quote. Now, I want us to notice something, church. Jesus never said that the world's going to be drawn by a great preaching. Jesus didn't say hordes of people are going to come because we have great worship and music. Jesus said, I'm praying that they will be one as the Heavenly Father and I are one. And through that unity, they will draw the world to the gospel. I believe we pleased God yesterday morning with 60 people from this church because we came with one mind, in faith, with one spirit, under submission of God and an authority, a godly authority. And we went out and did what God asked us to do, and we pleased God. If we diminish the importance of unity in the body of Christ, we're risking being invaded by the enemy. God has called us to divine unity. If we don't protect unity, if we don't strive for unity, if we don't do everything we can to promote unity, we are opening a gate for the enemy to come in. What will happen? You've all seen it. I've seen it in my own family, seen it in my own life. If there's not unity, the enemy will attack our families. The enemy will attack our church. And what will happen? It will cause ineffectiveness and it will cause destruction to all. And who's responsible? We are. Jesus gave us the tools. He gave us a game plan. He gave us scripture to follow. He gave us what we should do and what we should say. And if we do and we follow what Jesus says, and we don't just listen to God's word, but we be doers of his word, and by faith we will please him, and we'll give our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. If we do those things in unity as one, there will be nothing on this earth that anyone in the world will ever see God more than with a unified church. That's what the Bible says. That's what this world needs. So really quickly, I want us to make some steps together so we can be unified. Okay? Anybody with me? Amen. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Here's five steps I believe God is giving us that's going to empower us to please him. Number one, uplift. You're taking notes. Number one is uplift. One way to develop unity within the body of Christ is we all must make a commitment to follow the commands of God. He says in his word, uplift one another. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. And most of all, love one another. Amen? Number two, meet needs. God has placed us here so that we can meet the needs of others. One of my favorite things to do as a pastor is people call up or I know there's a need and I'm able to send out, we call old school word is alms, benevolence, support to people who need it. That's one of my favorite things to do. But if everybody in this church that calls this their church would tithe 10%, do you know how much God could do through our church? If everybody in church would tithe 10%, tithe literally means 10%. If everybody would do that all over the world, you've heard this before, there'd be no such thing as world hunger. There wouldn't be. If everybody in Cedar Rapids who went to church tithe 10%, and their spiritual leader would listen to the Spirit of God and help out, I don't believe there would be hunger in Cedar Rapids. There probably wouldn't be need. I realize that there's choices that people make and there's going to be things, but we could help them. We could help them, church. Number two is meet needs. See, we need to acknowledge our personal needs as well as we need to acknowledge our responsibility to help others with their needs. The first church in the book of Acts came together. They took all their possessions. They sold everything they had. They lived together. They loved together. And listen, somebody came with 10 bucks, right? That's all they had. They sold everything they had, came up with 10 bucks. Then you have somebody who came with $1 million. And there's nobody that said, I gave more than them. You don't see that with a unified church. They all came together, gave everything that they had for one purpose in mind, that the gospel would go forth. That people would be loved, that there'd be a unified church led by God. Amen? So no matter what you have, you can be a part. You're called to be a part. We need to be unified. We can meet the needs of the people that need to be met. And if you have a need, your need can be met. See, how many times have you given to someone else and then all of a sudden you find bad times and somebody gives to you? That's the circle of love. That's the way God designed it. Number three, integrity. Integrity. John 17:22 says, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Glory. The word glory calls attention to holiness and to purity of God. You cannot have the glory of God if you don't have holiness and if you're not pure. Right? If you want to walk into the Holy of Holies, what do you have to do? You have to clean yourself of all diseases, sicknesses, unforgiveness, sin, everything that got to be clean. And then you can go in the Holy of Holies. It actually, back in Old Testament times, the one priest that could actually go in there if he wasn't fully cleansed, they tied something around his ankle because if he walked in, he would die in the presence and the glory of God. So they'd fish him on out. Next! That guy was lying, right? So that's what it happens, is now we have Jesus. So he's torn the veil, so we have an opportunity to go into the presence of God. But sometimes you walk into the presence of God in an atmosphere like this, and sometimes you feel it and sometimes you don't. Do you think God is here less than he was before? No, maybe you were. Maybe you were. Jesus represented the glory and the holiness of God. And we have received the call to represent that same type of integrity and holiness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we will have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You ever heard a little bit of yeast works its way through the whole dough? If we have a little bit of disunity in this body, it's going to work its way through the whole church. First off, you have to ask, do I believe God is in this church? Okay, if you believe it. Do I believe the vision that the pastor has? Because I'm the spiritual leader. Do I believe in the vision that he has, and can I get behind it? And if you can, then you say, can I get in line with the people of authority ahead of me? Right? That's been placed by God in front of me. And if I can, am I getting along with one another? And if I'm not, is there some sort of animosity, unforgiveness, or something? Then you need to come together. And if all those things line up, God is going to work and the Spirit of God will flow and we will have revival. There'll be no other choice. And all the people out there will say, wow, that's a unified church. They're all flowing in the same vein, listening to the same word. They're all listening to God and following what he's called them to do. And they love each other, and they forgive one another, and they support one another, and they stand together, and they do it with integrity. They do it with love. They do it, and they uplift each other, and they meet each other's needs. Wow, I can't find that anywhere in the world. See, the dictionary defines integrity as a state of being whole or being unified. Unity flourishes when we live holy, clean, and pure lives. I realize we walk in with a bunch of stuff all over us. I do it every Sunday. But what's cool is you walk up to Jesus, you ask for forgiveness, and he washes you as white as snow. He just washes you. But you have to come with a heart that eagerly seeks after that. If part of your heart says, I want to give you a little bit, but not this much, God can't wash you all clean, right? That's like walking in and getting in the shower and having half of you in and half of you out. And he's cleaning half of you, and you look half good, but half of y'all stinks, right? Can you imagine? We got to give God all of us so he can clean all of us. We're a bunch of half-smelling people. Glory to God. Hey, half your hair looks good today. The other half's got bugs in it. I haven't washed it in a long time, right? You got like a cut like this, and then you got dreads on the other side. Amen. Number four, trust. Where there is integrity, there will be an opportunity for trust. See, trust is a natural byproduct of integrity. To experience unity, you must have confidence in your brothers and sisters to fulfill their responsibilities. Everyone can fully focus on their own assignment if they can trust the other people of the church to do their jobs with integrity. I cannot be your pastor if I cannot trust the people I'm over in this ministry. I would be worrying and wondering and be a micromanager all the time if I don't know those people below me have integrity and that they're doing their job. I'd be downstairs checking Abby to make sure everything's going good downstairs. I'd be over with Pastor Cody seeing if everything's getting ready in the fellowship hall for after this. I'd be in the sound room making sure that they're getting everything set. I'd be worshiping with Brent, which no one would ever want, and checking to see. I'd be all over the place, but I have to trust. I trust them with integrity because I've seen it in their lives, and I can trust them, and through that, the flow of the Holy Ghost happens. In the closing chapters of the book of John, we find Jesus calling his followers to be one in Christ by trusting one another with their lives. Now, here's a question. You look around at people, do you trust those people with your life? If someone came in here today and really persecuted us, would you stand next to them with your life? Would you trust them with your life? Because if you're not, and if you can't, you're not fully unified. Somewhere there's a breakdown of integrity. Somewhere there's a breakdown of trust. If you see in the book of last part of John, these followers of Jesus not only worked together, they served together, and they even died together. And lastly, number five, and I think it's probably one of the most important of all five, is a yield. There's two major areas in our lives that we must require yielding. Number one, always number one, we have to yield to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because God has exalted Christ, we must submit our life to the authority of Christ. Will you look at me real quick? Jesus is Lord, you are not. Jesus is Lord, you are not. Point at myself for anybody who's listening, going, why did he say it again? Jesus is Lord, we are not. Secondly, after yielding to the lordship of Jesus, we now have the capacity to yield to one another. You will never yield to another person in authority, especially in spiritual authority, if you haven't yielded to God. The only time you can yield to another person is if you've yielded to God. He's the first and foremost. You will never fully yield to someone else. But once you yield your heart to God and your life, your emotions, your will, and say, you know what? I don't want to do those things. I don't want to act that way because I yielded to you, God. You have my life now. I wanted to give it to you at that opportunity. You now have the capacity to yield to one another. Why? For the greatest cause, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ together. After yielding, our unified driving call is this: so that the world may know about Jesus. When we are willing to yield our selfish desires, the greatest goal will be accomplished, and the love of Jesus will be shared to a lost and dying world. It's only then. I have no problem, and I love it, if there's any other church in this city follows the full gospel front to cover, believes in that sin is the separation from us and God, that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. I am more than willing to say, let's team up. How can we tell people about Jesus? Let's work together. Let's work together. Team Jesus, baby. Team Jesus, right? Every year we get together at least one time with another church, right? We let churches use our trailer every once in a while. Hey, can I borrow the trailer for this ministry? Yeah, if we're not using it. Oh, are you gonna tell people about Jesus? Okay, it's better than sitting in the parking lot, right? We gotta be Team Jesus. But if you bust it, you know, fix it, but yes, use it. How can we help? This year, VBS, there's a church joining us and doing VBS with us. Why? Because we want to reach more children for Jesus. That's why. How can we partner and come together and share the gospel? Jesus is mobilizing and calling his church right now to love each other, to fellowship together, to share the same mind and purpose so they can minister in unity. Why? Simply put, we are better together. I want to read something, and then I'm going to ask God just to flow. And I'll ask the worship team to come up in just a moment. I love that God gave me this verse. It's like, what? Right? You ever written a sermon before? You write a sermon, then all of a sudden God gives you a verse, and it wraps it all up, and you're like, hallelujah. Right? Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant or pleasing it is when God's people live together in unity. Let that be your verse this week, church. When you go out, let that ring true. Memorize it if you must. It's not long. You can do it. That's the NIV version that I read. Psalm 133:1. How good and pleasant, or how pleasing to God that we talked about today, is it when God's people live together in unity? I'm gonna, worship team, will you come up, please? I'm going to ask us to do something again as a church. Then we're going to go, and if you don't already have plans, thank you. We got walking tacos over there for donation. We got a bunch of goodies you can vote on, and you can have fun, and we're sit at tables, and we're going to talk to each other. And if you go, my challenge to you is you need to talk to at least one person you don't know or you don't know very well. You have to. You have to. How can you get unified to people you've never met or you don't know? Especially if they're in the same church, right? Left side. Come on, there's some good right side people over here. Right? Right side. There's some good people on the left side. But the middle, I don't know. Just playing. I sit in the middle. We can get together. We are better together, church. We're better together. So I'm going to pray here in a moment, and this is what I want to ask. If there's anything in you today that God said, ooh, that stirred me up, oh, I don't live like that, or I'm not unified like that, or I have animosity to this person, or unforgiveness to this person, or I know there's grudges in this place from 30 years ago. Why do I know that? I'm the pastor. I hear everything, even if I don't want to. People tell me stuff all the time. What do I do with that? I give it to God. What have you done with it? Give it to God. Maybe today's your day that you get to unify with that person. Maybe something's happened to you. Maybe something's been said. Maybe some anger's happened, or maybe something in your life is just not matching up, or whatever it is. Whatever God is saying, I want you to do something. You got to move. You got to move. If I just teach you things from God's word, but I don't mobilize you, I've done you an injustice. God moves. We're hands and feet, and we're not just to stand around. We're to get moving and do what God calls us to. So I'm going to pray for us, and I'm just going to ask you today, just love on each other. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Ask for forgiveness if you must. Bless one another, right? If you have plenty and you know somebody doesn't and God's put something on your heart, don't hesitate, right? You know how sometimes I know it's God? Maybe this will help somebody. If naturally I don't think like that. So like I'm in a store and I'm walking and naturally I wouldn't think, oh man, I should buy those groceries for that person. Or naturally I should say something to that person. Or God put something upon my heart. And naturally in my own self, because I'm self-aware, to kind of know how I think or how I do things, if it pops up, that's the Holy Ghost speaking to me. And I'm like, oh, I got to do something about that. So if something in you says, you know what, God just gave me a bonus at church, but I know this person's been lacking, and it pops in your mind, all of a sudden you're like, why did I think of that person? I haven't thought of them in 2 months. Go and do it. Don't hesitate. Go and do it. God will bless you for that. And that brings unity to God's church, and that pleases him. And we got to please God. And when we please God in unity, and we come together, and we worship together, we have faith to believe in each other, and we do these things together, that's the only way that lost people will know that God is real. God's word even says, they will know you by how you love one another. It's unity. We're better together. Will you stand, please? Father, we love you, and we come to you right now. We just lift you up and we give you praise, God. We just ask for unity in our hearts and in our minds. If there's anybody in here today that is not unified with God, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've been running from him for a long time and you don't know him anymore and you want to be unified, you want to get back to God, reconciled. God says, no matter where you're at right now, you don't got to clean up nothing. You came today the way that you are, and God wants to meet you there, and he wants to love you. If that's you today, and you say, I need Jesus, I want to give my life to him, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to just pray for you. If that's you today, will you go ahead and raise your hand? Every head bowed, eyes closed. I see those hands. Is there anyone else that says, I want to be reconciled back to God. I want to be unified with him. I need to be loved by Jesus. Is there anybody else in here? I see that hand. Last call, on my left, on your right. Anybody in that section? I already saw two of you. Is there anybody else that says, I need Jesus? I want to be reconciled back to him. Is there anyone over there? Middle section in the your right side, my left side, right here. Is there anybody in this middle section except the one that just raised their hand? Is there anyone else? I see that hand. Middle sections, I see hands going up all over the place right here. Amen, amen. I want to be reconciled back to God. I want to be back together with him. I want to be part of God's family, unified. Lord, purify me, set me apart, protect me from the evil of this world. I see all those hands, amen. Far, my far right, your far left. Anybody in this section over here? Says, I need to get back with God. Amen. If you raised your hand today, I want to ask you to do something bold. I want you just to come down and meet me here because I want to pray for you. Nobody's going to judge you. This is a church family. We love you. If anything, we're going to see you and we're going to praise God for it in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to say a prayer. I saw all those hands. If you come up and join me right now, will you just come up right now? And as they come, church, will you give them a hand as they come just to support them? Amen. See you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to do something bold. I'm going to grab somebody. You know I'm coming for you. Time to step out. You want to come do it? Amen. Bro, will you come out with me? Come down here with me. Did you raise your hand too? All right. Come on down. I saw your hand, man. You're the first one. Amen. Altar team, will you come join me, please? But today's your day, right? All these people heard your message today. All these people came here to support you because God spoke to you today. I wrote a sermon this week because I was listening to God and it was for you. So you can be reconciled back to God because God loves you so much. He does. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said or where you've gone, Jesus loves you and he accepts you right where you're at right now, and he wants to change you from the inside out. And this right here, this is a church family, and we love each other. And ain't nobody perfect in here. There's nobody perfect in here standing either, including myself. But we come together and we want to be in unity. And God says that when we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we are saved. That means we're back with God. So I'm going to ask you guys to do something. I'm going to pray, and then I want you to do something with your mouth. You know, our mouth spoke real bad about ourselves, hasn't it? Yeah. We said some really mean things to ourselves and other people, haven't we? About time that we say some stuff that God wants to hear that pleases him. So I'm going to do that. Can I hold your guys' hand? Can you all hold hands? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to say, repeat after me, and I just want you to do that, okay? And these people that are around you, what they're going to do is they're going to get your name and their number and your information, and we're going to get you a Bible if you need one. We're going to be able to pray for you, connect with you this week, see how you're doing, and know that you're part of this group, and we're thinking about you, okay? Father, we love you, and we thank you right now. Together, we are better. And God, I thank you right now for salvation and reconciliation. I thank you that you've seen people run in the opposite way, and God, that they're turned around by the love and by the power of Jesus. And we thank you right now, and we come together. We thank you for growing this family. Growing this family, God, we are so excited that not only today that we get to worship with them, but Lord, if they follow true to you and they love you, even unperfectly, God, if they love you with their life and they try to lay it down, that we're going to be able to worship with them forever in heaven as well. God, we come to you right now and we thank you for salvation. God, I thank you that when I was lost, that you found me and you loved me and you picked me up and you spoke to me, God. Just like you're speaking to them now, that you're speaking to them and you're telling them that you love them, and no matter what they face, no matter if somebody said you're too far gone, that you are not. There is never anything you can do too far gone from God. He will always forgive you if you run to him and you ask for forgiveness. He will always love you. He has grace that abounds forever, and he will cast your sin as far as the east is from the west, and he will just shower you with love and purify you right now. Tonight might be the best sleep you'll ever have. Because you know you're in the hands of God and you're not lost anymore, wondering what the world has to offer. But now you look to God and you say, God, I am yours. Will you help me? Will you fight for me? Will you love me? Will you forgive me? We love you, Jesus. Now repeat after me. Jesus, I give you my heart right now. Speak to me and love me like I've never been loved before. I recognize it says in your word that you're the Lord of my life. I give you now the rest of my life as you gave all of yours. May you be the Savior of my life as I follow you with all that I have. May you be with me as I walk with this family. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now make that real with him right now, just you and him. If you never said anything to God before, it's just like you're praying, just like me and you are talking right now. You just say, God, I love you. Lord, forgive me. God, I'm here. I need you. God, thank you. Thank you for today, God. Thank you. Lord, help me. Help me. I love you. I recognize that you're the Savior. God, be with me. Be with me. Now, here's what's something cool. You can open your eyes. It says in God's word that when one person would come to Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. And then what's cool is it says, here on earth, we can have heaven here on earth. So guess what we do when anybody comes to Jesus here at First Open Bible? We celebrate with heaven. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some people right behind you that just want to love on you and get some information to you. Okay? Love you. Church, let's worship as we go out. Don't forget, we got stuff over there. It's immediately after service. Go ahead and meet with the people right behind you. We love you. Yes, sir. What's your name, man?
I see you there hanging on a tree. You bled and then you died and then you rose again for me. Now you are sitting on your heavenly throne. Soon we will be coming home. You're beautiful. Whoa. You're beautiful.